All right, Tuesday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Launching another week here. All good news, of course. Just looking at the chat here, seeing some of my usual people on here. Scooter 8887, BWO Laver, Robin McGroin is already on. McGroin Nation, Pops McGroin. Didn't know you, Pops. You're from Baltimore. That's cool. Aaron's on. Aaron Yeager's on.
That's true.
Enzi's mom's on. Mara Z, Nude Monk is on. It's one of my favorite new names. Well, it's not a new name, but Fishing for McGroin. Is that new? We've had a Fishing for
newer,
McGroin.
Newer, but.
Newer, Fishing for McGroin. Glad you're on. Chopper Supernut, one of my favorite names. Jeannie Malfisi, great. Glad that you're on. God bless you guys. Really appreciate each and every one of you guys in the chat. Really do. Gloyd Shaw, I see you on there. God bless you guys. Seriously, really do appreciate it. Hey, Aaron, let's put up the stuff that you pulled for me out of the pregame. Just to do want to launch with good news, because we need to see this stuff.
Trump is
not the video.
Biden.
I thought you pulled clips.
Whoops.
I thought you did freeze frame.
That was supposed to not play. Sorry about that.
If you got freeze frames, that's what I'm looking for.
Yep, give me just a second.
Okay, well, I can't give you a second. But all right, let's go to the first one, Heather. Here we go. Cash Patel tweet. You ready? Here we go. Now, I just wanted to launch into this because this is the Trump trials. And this is really big breaking news. This is big stuff. Because it shows the malfeasance of the DOJ and the collaboration, of course, with all the different prosecutors. Again, and I don't mean to be overly redundant with these things, but it gets really confusing between the civil cases and the criminal cases. But we all need to understand what this is and where they are and who's doing them, because we need to see the connections to the Biden White House. And whenever I say DOJ, it's not just DOJ either. It's attorneys at the White House. It's actually attorneys at the White House, not just DOJ attorneys, Biden attorneys. So sometimes it gets to be where it kind of overlaps a little bit. You're saying Biden attorneys and DOJ because it's all under Biden. But it gets even more specific when these prosecutors like Nathan Wade, he wasn't meeting with the DOJ. Nathan Wade, Fannie Willis's boyfriend, he was meeting with Biden's attorneys at the White House, Biden's attorneys at the White House. Not even, now there may have been DOJ attorneys present. And as we know, back looking at the collusion hoax, where you had various officials, you had Biden, you had Obama, you had John Brennan, you had James Comey, all sitting in this. So you had the head of the CIA in there, head of the FBI in there, head of the vice president and the vice president, all in there. And it was actually Biden that came up with the idea of trying to charge people with the Logan Act. And you had John Brennan telling everybody that this was a Hillary Clinton op, which it really wasn't just a Hillary Clinton op. He was lying even when he was briefing Biden and Obama. And I don't mean to digress in all this, but it's big picture about how all this stuff ends up coming together. Well, you had Biden, you actually had Brennan in there briefing Obama and Biden that this was a Hillary Clinton campaign op. It wasn't. It was actually a John Brennan op doing what they call bumps overseas and using Five Eyes intelligence agencies. And what I mean by that is the Five Eyes, as always, United States, Great Britain, Canada, New Zealand, and Australia. Those are the Five Eyes countries. Using those Five Eyes countries, i.e. Christopher Steele, the Steele dossier, to do bumps on Biden officials. And all you got to do is go up to Trump officials, going up to Trump officials and saying, you know, have you ever heard about Russians trying to interfere in Hillary Clinton's campaign? And someone like George Papadopoulos answers back, no, I've never. That's exactly what Papadopoulos said, by the way. No, I've never heard of any Russian operatives trying to interfere in Hillary Clinton's campaign. So then they can go back and they start an investigation because George Papadopoulos said something about Hillary Clinton and Russians. That's all. You're like, Tom, it can't be that simplistic. It is that simplistic. When you have deep state corruptocrats in charge, like James Comey, like now Christopher Wray, Andrew McCabe, Ron Rosenstein, all those different ones, and now Merrick Garland and Lisa Monaco, deeply Avril Haines, now an intel chief, Avril Haines. I'm trying to remember her title. DNI, I think that's the title. She has Avril Haines. But anyway, yeah, got it, DNI. So both Avril Haines and Lisa Monaco, lost her name for a second, were both deeply involved in the collusion hoax. Now Lisa Monaco is deeply involved in raiding Mar-a-Lago and all these other Trump lawfare cases. But if you go back to this, this, of course, is the case. Judge Cannon, this case is the West Palm Beach case. This is the documents case. So this is, you had the raid on Mar-a-Lago for the documents. So, and this, of course, is a criminal case. This is one of Jack Smith's case. Jack Smith has two cases. He has the documents case, and then he has his insurrection case. Those two different cases, one being tried. Now, he tried to get this case tried in Washington, D.C. also. But he lost that hearing. So it's getting tried in Florida under Judge Cannon, who is a constitutionalist, who is a legitimate judge. She will both side. She is a legitimate judge. She's going to go with the rule of law, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat. If you have erroneous charges being brought against a Democrat by red attorneys generals, red district attorneys, which never happens, by the way, it literally never happens. When we do political, if you want to call them political prosecutions, we go through the proper chain of command, which is impeachments and things like that. Donald Trump was impeached twice. They lost twice. It's over. You can't not criminally now prosecute Donald Trump for acts that he did under the authority of the presidency and part of his official capacity. You cannot criminally charge him for those things, but that's what they're trying to do. So here's this case. So you have the Jack Smith document case here in South Florida. Then you've got the Jack Smith insurrection case, which is the Tanya Shutkin case. That's the judge. You got Judge Cannon here. Tanya Shutkin, who is a left-hard hack. That's the judge. You know, Mike Davis said, an incredibly stupid human being. Really, you're just a stupid human being if you're Tanya Shutkin. But anyway, so that's those cases. Then you have the Alvin Bragg case, which is the Stormy Daniels bullcrap case that's being tried right now. Then you had the civil cases where you had the Trump falsely represented his real estate values case, which was the Judge Engeron case. Then, of course, you had the E. Jean Carroll civil rape case where they had to change the statute of limitations. Letitia James changed the statute of limitations to even bring that case forward, specifically so that they could bring this case forward, which needs to be remembered, by the way. When we own various entities, we need to remember that when they change the rules, it's just like when they change the filibuster rule in the Senate, where now it's just a pure majority vote. That will help us in the future. We need to use all of these different cases against them when we are. And then, of course, you have the Fannie Willis case in Atlanta, which is another election interference case, which doesn't make any sense. Now, every last one of these cases, none of these laws even exist. There's no law that even exists for Trump to violate, but somehow they're charging him with violating laws that don't exist. The Alvin Bragg case, which of course was reinstigated by Matthew Colangelo, third in charge of the DOJ. Well, no, he's not third in charge now. No, he was just asked to leave a multi-hundred thousand dollar a year job to go take a DA, assistant DA job in Manhattan. And then he goes and reinstigates the case. The case that Alvin Bragg turned down, Cy Vance, Alvin Bragg's predecessor, turned down. The U.S. attorney turned down. The DOJ turned down. But lo and behold, it's now been reinvigorated by Biden's DOJ. A case where they are saying that Donald Trump committed a crime in his mind somehow because he paid Stormy Daniels the $130,000 hush money case, which again, just so everybody knows, that's just a hush money case. Stormy Daniels has put out a document that says there was never an affair in any year. And the person who actually instigated that case, according to Michael Avenatti, was Michael Cohen, Stormy Daniels' attorney, and they were sleeping together at the time when he had Stormy Daniels go in and extort Donald Trump out of $130,000. That's probably what happened. That's allegedly what happened. But regardless, what they're saying is that Donald Trump paid Stormy Daniels out of his personal finances. But they're charging him with a campaign finance violation. It's like, Tom, how does that work? Because I guess Donald Trump should have, what they're saying is Donald Trump should have paid her out of his campaign finances because in some way, shape, or form, it would damage his campaign if Stormy Daniels came out and talked. So that should come out of his campaign, out of his campaign finances. Now, if he did pay it out of his campaign finances, it would be an FEC violation, Federal Elections Commission violation. So he either commits a felony by paying it out of his campaign coffers, or he commits a felony by not paying it out of his campaign coffers. And now they've charged him somehow with summarily with 34 felonies. And of course, remember that none of these cases were ever filed. This is now, we are on month 36, 37, 38, 39, month 40 of the Biden administration. None of these cases were ever filed until year three of the Biden administration in the campaign year. So back to the Cannon case here. Well, really, this is the Jack Smith's persecution via prosecution case. This is for the Mar-a-Lago raid. These are the this documents case. We're under the Presidential Records Act. You can have as many documents as you want, but there's new salacious information that's come out, and this is that you probably all read it now while I'm sitting here blathering on and on. But new information has come out because Jack Smith's documents that he wanted to keep sealed, Judge Cannon has ordered for them not to be sealed. Now, we all know that John chapter 3, verse 20, this is all politics mixed with the Bible here, because really most politics is mixed with the Bible. For everyone practicing evil hates light, does not come to light, lest their deeds be exposed. Why is it that you and I can never redact a document? Let's just say to the IRS, but the IRS can redact all their documents. Well, why can't you and I redact our documents to the FBI, but the FBI can redact documents? Where right now, when they're having trials for 1-6 defendants, they won't release exculpatory videos to the defense attorneys for the 1-6 defendants, exculpatory materials that would completely exonerate them of the criminal offenses they're being charged with. And the reason why they won't release them is for national security reasons. You and I can't do that, but they can. Just like they can all have walls and they can all have guns, but you and I are not allowed to have walls and guns, right? So here's just this case down here. And this, of course, again, is the Jack Smith case. And Jack Smith's a galactically, you know, failed attorney. We illustrated it last on Saturday, I believe, maybe Saturday, maybe Thursday, I don't remember, on the podcast, and Jack Smith's numerous failures in criminal courts. But Judge Cannon unseals DOJ docs that Jack Smith's banned a miscreants redacted. Why do they redact them? Everyone practicing evil hates the light. Everyone practicing evil redacts, showing Biden's GSA possessed boxes of 45s, that's Donald Trump's papers, before they shipped them to Mar-a-Lago. Translation, government gangsters possessed classified documents, shipped them to Mar-a-Lago, then charged him because they became illegal in transit. That's what's called planting evidence. That's what's called entrapment. And it's all felonies. Another DOJ FBI rig job, just like Russiagate. Congress, where are the flipping subpoenas? So what happened was, is that Biden's governmental officials, and this was all, again, a collusive case between the National Archives, the NARA, and the Biden and Joe and the White House, Jonathan Suh, the Biden attorney, which made Donald Trump's former presidential records now no longer presidential records. Like, how does that work? I don't know. Jonathan Suh, Biden attorney, actually deemed that Donald J. Trump's presidential records were no longer under the Presidential Records Act, or no longer covered by the Presidential Records Act. But anyway, which makes no sense, but that's what they did, which gave NARA and the DOJ the ability to go down and seize those presidential records. Now, a lot of those presidential records that Donald J. Trump has or had at Mar-a-Lago are Ukraine-related, because Ukraine really is what started the collusion hoax. Don't have time to get into that tonight. A lot of it is collusion hoax stuff, which directly indicts, literally and figuratively, Joe Biden himself and really what the main concern with all of this is protecting Barack Hussein Obama. Because Obama knew that it was a collusion hoax. You're like, Tom, you keep going back to collusion, because collusion is directly related to Mar-a-Lago, the Mar-a-Lago raid. Because the same FBI officials who orchestrated the Russian collusion hoax were behind the Mar-a-Lago raid, because they're having to go down there and get the evidence that indicts them, that actually shows that they are guilty of committing numerous felonies. You know, it's just, it's why Sean Combs, I'm telling you right now, it's why Sean Combs, you're not going to see, and I'll come out and say I'm wrong if I'm wrong, you'll never see P. Diddy spend a second in prison. It won't matter what he did. It's just like Jeffrey Epstein. He wasn't ever going to spend a day in prison until people actually discovered that the island, Epstein Island, actually existed. Other than that, if it wasn't for Alex Jones, Jeffrey Epstein would still be alive and still have an office at Harvard. That really happened? Yes, that really happened. So that would still be going on right now, except for media that you and I watch, including this podcast right now, if it wasn't for the media that you and I have, the Gateway Pundits, the Citizen Free Presses, the Bonginos, the Bannons, all of those, Crowder, numerous others that I don't have time to name or get into, if it wasn't for outlets like ours, Jeffrey Epstein would still be alive, still be conducting his various business affairs on Epstein Island, and Bill Clinton would probably be on Lolita Express Flight 900 by now, on his way out to Epstein Island to victimize more underage girls. That would still be going on if it wasn't for media outlets that you and I actually watch. But he got exposed, so he had to die. So Sean Combs, what it is, this is a butt-covering operation. So they go and they go raiding. You're like, well, they're raiding it for possibly underage sex stuff. And no, it's because somebody is on video doing something in that house that they don't want to get out. So the FBI, as the brown shirt Gestapo for the Democratic Party, goes and suddenly, after years and years and years, and piles and piles and piles of evidence that Combs was possibly doing illegal things at his mansion or mansions, now suddenly, just like now, lo and behold, this year, all of these trials begin against Donald Trump. Well, now this year, Sean Combs, that he's being, he gets, and you're like, Tom, are you some kind of Sean Puffy Combs fan? Absolutely, I don't know one song. I don't know one song the man's ever sang. He's a Democratic Party acolyte. He outwardly supports all Democratic Party candidates and campaigns for Democratic Party candidates. Can't stand the guy. But he has something that they need. He knows it too. That's why he's so relaxed. The rest of us would be crapping the bed if our house was getting raided by the FBI. He's out there just walking around the streets, talking on the phone. He's perfectly relaxed because he knows he's not going to spend a second in jail. And if he does, he'll get some sort of, like Hunter Biden, some sort of little slap on the wrist because he is prosecution proof because he's a Democratic Party acolyte, Democratic Party supporter. And, you know, he campaigns for him all the time, raises money for him, probably millions of dollars. So that's what happened with Mar-a-Lago, is that there's evidence there that proves that Barack Hussein Obama is a criminal, that James Clapper, John Brennan, James Comey, Rod Rosenstein, Andrew McCabe all lied under oath and all also lied to the FISA courts. That's all down in Mar-a-Lago. But to just make sure that they had some sort of precipice for this raid, they sent him more classified documents. Because what happens is, of course, is when you are, especially a one-term administration, should have been two, but it was one. One-term administration, you're having to, like, you expected to be reelected. So now you're not prepared at all to leave the White House. Now, if you know that your second term's coming to an end, you start the process. Because these are hundreds of thousands of documents that you're going to keep either for your presidential library. All these idiots, they have a presidential library that's costs, you know, taxpayer dollars or whatever fundraising they did do. You know, $100 million to build their presidential libraries. Barack Hussein Obama's, of course, is the worst ever. With a whole bunch of lies on the wall about things they accomplished that they never did. But when you're a two-termer, you're like, you have months and months and months to pack these boxes, have people check them, and ship them to whatever private residence that you're going to store them at under a secured skiff, under the security of the Secret Service, which Donald Trump's were. They were under the security of the Secret Service. The FBI comes 2 weeks before the raid, says, hey, we'd like a couple of these locked into a secure closet with a padlock. Donald Trump does that, and the FBI then cuts that padlock off at 2 weeks later and raids them anyway for the exact same documents they already knew that were there. But they didn't raid them then, but they raided them now because they had to cover up for the felonious crimes, and all of these things have to come to light. Now, Jim Jordan, you saw on the pregame, is talking about an investigation into all of these different things. Hopefully he does it, but they don't do, you know, the Republicans are not our friends. Yes, I'm a Republican. Yes, I'm voting down ballot Republican because they're certainly better than baby butchering Democrats. However, they are not our friends. They don't really ever do anything for us. And under both Democrat administrations, Democrat houses, Democrat senates, Republican administrations, Republican houses, and Republican senates, we have now gotten to where we are $35 trillion in debt. So they're not really conservatives. A conservative is somebody who doesn't want to spend a lot of government money. It doesn't want to print a lot of money. It's called conservation. Being a conservative, you don't print money to pay for things that you can't afford. So obviously, there really are no conservatives in Washington, D.C., outside of a few outliers That's why Donald Trump is a legit conservative, although he spent way too much money too. He's learned his lesson. Hopefully he won't this time when he gets back in 2025. So anyway, in the midst of this, what the Biden administration did, because they wanted to make sure that they had enough evidence, I guess, even though it makes no sense at all, to charge Donald Trump with being in illegal possession of classified documents, they actually sent the classified documents to him. This had nothing to do with the transition. Nothing to do with the transition time. This is long after Donald Trump left the House. And remember, this was left the White House. This is in direct collusion with NARA. NARA, National Archives, is supposed to be a non-political entity, but they are now run, forgot his name, but by a political actor who, in collusion with Lisa Monaco, Merrick Garland, DOJ, and the Biden White House attorneys, decided to get together. It just reminds me of when you had the National School Board Association was requested by Merrick Garland to please send us a letter. It's called entrapment, called instigation, Federal Bureau of Investigation. Federal Bureau of Instigation. Merrick Garland sends a letter to the National School Board Association, the NSA, and sends them a letter saying, hey, could you send us a letter? This is the same thing that happened. Send us a letter saying that you feel threatened at school board meetings by parents saying that they don't want their daughters in bathrooms with men pretending to be women. Can you please send us a letter that you feel threatened? So the NSA did it, and that's where you ended up with the terrorist watch list. We have people like you and I who testify at school board meetings say, you know what? Here's my outlandish request. My outlandish request is please don't have my daughter, say a member of the volleyball team, changing her clothes in front of a 48-year-old teacher who's a man claiming to be a woman who's fully penised. That's what we're asking. Please send us a letter telling us that you feel threatened by that. That's exactly what happened. And everybody ended up on the FBI terrorist watch list. And then, of course, they denied all, but that's exactly what happened. And Merrick Garland was actually called out on it and had to admit to it under oath. He tried not to. He tried to do the Potomac two-step around it. But he sent a letter to the NSA requesting that they send a letter back to him saying that they feel threatened by these parents at school board meetings. This is the same thing that happened with NARA. NARA was instigated by the Biden White House and the Biden DOJ. Please act like you're bothered and make an official complaint that Donald Trump is not sending you records. Now, this has never happened again in the history of our country. Never have Biden. The Biden administration keeps doing things, keeps accomplishing things, keeps allowing things to happen that have never, all negative, have never happened before in the history of the United States of America. NARA has never really been a politically charged agency. And what I've told you 1,000 times, it's just like Barack Hussein Obama has got 144,000 NARA requested documents. Documents that NARA has requested be returned to the National Archives. And again, Hussein Obama hasn't been in office since January 19th of 2017. And he hasn't returned one of them yet. Not one. They've never raided his house. Joe Biden, 1,800 boxes of compartmented classified documents. Not in a shed, not locked up, not locked in a filing cabinet. Sitting in torn open boxes next to his Corvette that Hunter Biden's driving Russian hookers in and out of his garage in. No, not raided yet. And not only that, but of course, none of the documents that Donald Trump actually had were a violation of the Presidential Records Act. None of it was illegal for him to be in possession of. There's no way for one of Joe Biden's documents not to be illegal. And there's no way that one of Donald Trump's documents can be illegal. But yet the only person who gets their house raided is the person who's not done one thing illegal. And then just to make sure that they have enough evidence, they ship him. They actually ship. Look at the translation. If you ever listen to Kash Patel, he's got his own language. Government gangsters, the Biden administration, possessed classified documents and shipped them to Donald Trump, then charged him with the documents. Charged him with being in possession of the documents that they shipped to him. That would be like a cop pulling you over, throwing cocaine under your seat, and charging you with cocaine possession. That's what the Biden administration has done. And this is why Jack Smith wanted this hidden, why he had it redacted. He actually had this redacted. And now it's come to light because Judge Cannon ordered that these documents be redacted and allowed all of us to see them. All right, let's go now to the Matthew Colangelo case. You're like, no, Tom, it's not the Matthew Colangelo case. It's the Alvin Twinkies Bragg case. No, Matthew Colangelo is the one who's doing all the speaking. The former third in charge of the DOJ is the one doing all the speaking at this campaign finance violation. I don't want to call it the Stormy Daniels case because it's ridiculous. This campaign finance violation case, which, by the way, no local jurisdiction, again, this makes absolutely no sense. No local jurisdiction can even charge you with a campaign finance violation in a federal election. You're like, Tom, how are they charging it? Just make it up. I told you there's no backstop. Once you get into a blue jurisdiction and a blue jury, blue prosecutor, blue grand jury, blue appellate court, who's going to stop it? They issue a warrant for you. The police are still going to come, whether it's lawful or not. Yeah, but eventually righteousness will want. No, it won't. There's nowhere for righteousness to exist. It's a blue police department run by a blue police chief, run by a blue mayor, a blue attorney general, a blue governor, blue judge, Merchan, blue prosecutor, Matthew Colangelo, blue other prosecutor, Alvin Bragg, blue jury, blue grand jury that indicted him to begin with, which makes no sense. So here's the latest on the Matthew Colangelo, Judge Merchan case. Today, Judge Merchan ordered Trump to delete several Truth Social posts from his account by 2:15 p.m. All posts have been deleted. These are some of the deleted posts. They don't want you to see. It would be a shame if they went viral. So, of course, we're putting them on the TLP. Well, here's the thing. With this, first of all, let's just talk about this gag order. And everybody already knows this. What's a gag order for? And again, these are all first. These are all unprecedented acts in any court in the United States of America. A gag order is never for the defendant. A gag order is never for a defendant at all, ever. The gag order is exclusively for prosecutorial staff. That's it, for the prosecutor and prosecutorial staff. That's the only thing. So they're gagging a defendant against 200 years of constitutional law and law practice. You don't ever gag a defendant because the defendant should have the right to say whatever they want. Remember now, this is the United States of America. We're not a democracy. We are a constitutional republic. It is actually illegal to gag a defendant. Illegal. And Donald Trump has been gagged by Judge Juan Merchan, whose daughter is a Democratic Party activist, who runs and owns a Democratic Party campaign firm that has already raised over $100 million using this case to raise it. And he refuses to recuse himself and then puts a gag order on Donald Trump, which is constitutionally illegal in a violation of his civil rights. And again, once we run the DOJ, and if we have any access to any local DAs and court systems where we are able to launch lawsuits and prosecutions, once we need to do all of these things. Because Judge Merchan actually needs to be criminally prosecuted for what he's done here in civil rights violations against Donald Trump. So here are the Truth Social posts, four of the five, that were ordered to be taken down. Ordered. How do you order them to take down? This one we already showed on the TLP. Look what was just found. Will the fake news report it? And this is where Stormy Daniels says, that's her signing on the bottom. Now, he was ordered to take this down. Why? So, and again, it's just like Peter Navarro, Alex Jones, Steve Bannon, General Flynn, Roger Stone not allowed to defend themselves under orders of judges. 1-6 defendants can't defend themselves under orders of judges. I mean, you're not allowed, if you're Rudy Giuliani, $48 million defamation settlement, whatever you want to call it, but it's a defamation fine that he has to pay. He's worth $10 million, but somehow he has to pay a $40 million fine to Shea Moss and Ruby Freeman. He says, can I show the video of them doing what I'm accusing them of doing, which was putting the same votes in the same machine over and over again? No, we're not allowing you to show that, and he loses the case. That's the same thing here. I mean, you're like, Tom, but somebody's going to, I'm going to just ask everybody this. I don't want to be dark and negative, but who's going to step in? Who would step in? I mean, this is the problem. And the problem is we get screwed over and over again. Congress does nothing about it. No investigations, no subpoenas. nothing. You have Clarence Thomas does nothing. Brett Kavanaugh does nothing when they are screwed over by the system. Matt Gaetz isn't doing anything when he's screwed over by the system. You gotta wage war here. You get to fame like Matt Gaetz, and I love Matt Gaetz. One of the legit one of the few legit conservatives that exists in Washington, D.C. I love him. But you need to wage litigious warfare against the people who tried to extort you out of millions by falsely claiming that you were trafficking in underage women. Matt Gaetz? And it's the same thing that Clarence Thomas should have done. And the same thing, but they don't, so they just keep doing it over and over again, and there's no repercussions for them, so they just do it over and over again. But you have Judge Juan Merchan, who's a Democratic Party agitprop. If you allow him to go unprosecuted, and he can be prosecuted via federal law, there seems to be an FBI raid on his house next when we run the DOJ. But you look at what Donald Trump is allowed to put on the internet. He's not allowed to defend himself. He's got a gag order, unconstitutional gag order against the defendant. Over the past few weeks, I've been asked, this is Stormy Daniels talking, countless times to comment on reports of an alleged sexual relationship I had with Donald Trump many, many, many years ago. The fact of the matter is that each party to this alleged affair denied its existence in 6, 11, 16, 17, and 18. I am not denying this affair because I was paid hush money, as many have reported, to overseas-owned tabloids. I'm denying this affair because it never happened. He's not allowed to post that. He's not allowed to post that on Truth Social. Go to the next one for me, Heather. Here's the next one. Thank you, Michael Avenatti. He's not allowed to thank Michael Avenatti for revealing the truth about two sleazebags who have, with their lies and misrepresentations, cost our country dearly. We can't be hypocrites when it comes to First Amendment. It is outrageous that Cohen and Daniels, Stormy Daniels, can do countless TV interviews on social and make money on bogus documentaries, all by talking bleep about Trump, but he's gagged and threatened with jail if he responds. And he just thanks the guy for putting that out there. And think about this. He is forced to take down this tweet of another person. This is already out there. Mike Avenatti has a lot of followers on Twitter. It's already out there. And Donald Trump, because he references, forced him to take it down. Go to the next one, Heather. They are catching undercover liberal activists lying to the judge in order to get on the Trump jury, Jesse Waters. That's exactly what happened. Why are you not allowed to post what's true on Truth Social? Next one, Heather. New York Post. Right here, a serial perjurer put out by Donald Trump. Of course, he was forced to take this down. A serial perjurer will try to prove an old misdemeanor against Trump and an embarrassment for the New York legal system, because Bragg turned it down, DOJ turned it down, U.S. Attorney turned it down, Alvin Bragg's predecessor, Cy Vance, turned it down after an absurd $450 million decision against Trump, courtesy of AG Big Tish James. Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg will bring his equally controversial criminal prosecution over hush money paid to Stormy Daniels, which, of course, I've already told you, makes absolutely no sense. He gets in the fraud case, he gets found guilty of civil fraud and forced to pay. Now, usually what happens if you get found guilty of civil fraud, you have to pay back the victims that you committed fraudulent, that you defrauded, right? Well, there were no victims for him to pay back the money, because he had already paid back all the loans that he allegedly fraudulently got. Or he paid them back with interest, and the people that he did the loans with, like Deutsche Bank, came and testified and said, we'd love to do business with them again. Where's that $450 million going to go to? And again, they're like, Tom, yeah, but none of this makes any sense. I know it doesn't make any sense. Well, I mean, let me ask, where's it going to go? Usually we go to the fraud victims. Like in the Enron case, although you had Jack Smith deeply involved in that, so they lost it and blew it up anyway. But where would that, normally it would go back, it would go to the people that, who were defrauded. There's nobody that was defrauded. So what are they going to do with the $450 million? $175 million that he's already paid. What are they going to do with that? He should get all that money back on appeal. So I just wanted to show you what's happening in these various cases. And of course, you have right now, you have the four different prosecutions, criminal prosecutions, already been through two civil prosecutions. Now we're in the four, two civil prosecutions, E. Jean Carroll's rape accusation, E. Jean Carroll's defamation accusation. And Donald Trump lost both. Again, which makes no sense. All right, let's move on to the border. Here's just a quick video from Tucker Carlson America is being invaded and destroyed. Play for me, Heather.
So everyone who's paying any attention at all knows that more people are coming across the U.S. border from foreign countries illegally than any time in American history. How is it happening? Why is it happening? And who's allowing it to happen?
As soon as Biden was installed, I flew straight to El Paso because I thought that the aliens would start flooding across the border, and they did. We then flew over to Panama and went down into the Darien Gap. There's more than five dozen NGOs down there, IGOs and nonprofits. The main one is IOM. These NGOs are working hard to take over various countries. And the main funder, by the way, is the United States.
These are obviously criminal organizations. So why is no one doing anything about it?
Weaponized migration is often a precursor for something bigger.
That's the end of the United States, the country that you grew up in. Irreparable. Forever.
So there you go. And just basically when the Biden administration took over, he took down all of Trump's executive orders. I'm trying to remember the exact number of them. It was many. It was like 60 or something along those lines of the executive orders. And then they're always claiming that we need comprehensive border reform. You don't need comprehensive border reform. You needed to leave the laws in place that were in place and a wall being built. Imagine being such a cuckboy like James Lankford. Senator out of, can't remember which state, James Lankford, out, it's in the Midwest, I can't remember, but anyway, Missouri or something along those lines, James Lankford, but being such a cuckboy like James Lankford, maybe Nebraska, Missouri, something along those lines.
Oklahoma,
there you go, Oklahoma, thank you, Aaron. Oklahoma, you're such a cuckboy that he knew that all of Donald Trump's executive orders about the border remain in Mexico policy, totally destroyed. Donald Trump had lowered it down to 8,000 illegal border crossers per month. Joe Biden's still 15,000 per day right now. And James Lankford knows all that. I mean, just imagine what a soulless, spineless, devoid of all human dignity and integrity person you have to be to go ahead and come up with a border security bill, which is a border insecurity bill, a border invasion bill, in collusion with Chuck Schumer. And then claim that you need comprehensive border reform. Remember, it's just 8,000 a month, which is far too many, but 8,000 a month under Trump, 15,000 a day under Biden. And now, and of course, none of this was initiated at all in the first 3 years of the Biden administration. No comprehensive border reform at all. And then suddenly, it's just like he never bothered to visit East Palestine until this year. He never needed comprehensive border reform until this year. No Trump trials until this year, a campaign year, of course. It's just so blatant out in your face. How you can ever be a leftard and not just see outwardly how ridiculous the Democratic Party is and still vote for them and how fraudulent they are and it's how politically expedient they are and politically ridiculous that they are and just the bull-faced liars that they are. It's truly amazing. So Biden comes in and removes the Remain in Mexico policy and all the other Trump executive orders basically on day one. And as shown here it goes again. Off my thing. As shown here in the Tucker Carlson video, illustrated in the Tucker Carlson video, the problem began right at that moment. There was this problem that James Lankford is trying to solve for the comprehensive border reform, which makes absolutely no sense. And of course, it was rejected because it makes no sense. But now the Democrats have a talking point. Well, we tried to pass this border security bill, which is not anything, had nothing to do with border security. And the Republicans turned it down. So the open borders are his problem. Is the fault of the Republicans? No, the fault began on day one of the Biden administration. It was shown in this video. So I want to show you this Judicial Watch video. This is Chris Farrell on the Texas border. Here's the current state of our physical border. Play for me, Heather.
This is kind of an interesting spot because it's really where the border comes apart at the seams. Let me point a couple of things out to you. Number one, I'm right at the edge of the fencing that exists, and it's really a gap, it's a hole in the fencing. You'll see over here the Texas fencing, which is concertina wire atop a wire fence. Then there's this kind of open area that I'm standing in. And then on my left, your right, is the end of, or the break in the Trump era wall. And between that and the portion that I'm standing in, is really a wide open break or gap in the border. And then directly to my front, you'll see a ridge line in the distance. That's high terrain in Mexico overlooking the Rio Grande River. So just beyond those trees, that fence is the Rio Grande River. And the reason I point this out is there is no border. There is no barrier. We've been out here now for some time. There is no Border Patrol, no Texas DPS. It is essentially just a wide open area, and anybody seeking to get across can and will. And there's really nothing from here inwards to the interior of the United States that's any kind of real enforcement.
Now, not the 817 people that are watching right now, but most Americans live under delusion. You're like, no, everybody knows the border. No, most Americans don't know the border's open like you and I do. And the most Americans think there's actually an operating border. There is none. Who would be stopped by? There's nothing to stop them. It's even a ridiculous question to even ask. Who would be stopped by? There's nothing to stop them. Is air going to stop them from coming in? There's nothing to stop them. That is the current state of our border. And here's the thing: you don't even need to cross the southern border because look at this. Bill Malugin tweet. Exclusive internal DH data reveals the 45 plus U.S. cities that hundreds of thousands of migrants have flown into via the Biden administration's controversial CHNV mass parole program. Leave this up for me, Heather, for a while until I tell you to take it down because I'm going to need the numbers. But you don't even need to walk. Now, again, let me ask you this. The 817 people that are on, has anybody ever heard before the Biden administration of the United States government in a systemic way loading illegal migrants onto airplanes and flying them into the United States of America to the tune of hundreds of thousands? I believe the number is 400,000 total. You see 200,000 there, but it's actually 400,000, I believe, when I'll read you some more in a minute. I'm looking at my stuff here. Yeah, 404,000 is the actual data, just so everybody knows. Have anybody ever heard of that before? I mean, we have to look at the depth of which the Biden administration is trying to kill the United States of America. Flying in illegal border invaders. It's not good enough that there's no wall, that they stopped the wall, that they sold off all the wall materials for pennies on the dollar. So you and I lost, again, billions of dollars. As we spent $8 billion to build Trump's wall. It was only built to a certain percentage. And then Biden sold off all the extra materials. The materials, not even extra materials, the materials that were going to be used to build the rest of the wall, he sold them off for pennies of the dollar. So you and I are out billions again. While he gives free college tuition to people who are getting humanities degrees at Harvard, where they are pro-Hamas protesters. I mean, imagine that. So anyway, so here we go on this. Cities that hundreds of thousands of migrants have flown into. The data was obtained by Homeland GOP via a subpoena to DHS. And this is what needs to happen all the time. We need to forget about. Listen, anybody wants to go out and protest, go protest. It's constitutional rights. Constitutional Republic, go protest. I'm not anti-protest. I've been part of protests. I went to a Trump rally. I like all that stuff. I do, but right now it's useless. All of our money, all of our time needs to be spent giving our money to people like at Homeland GOP, if they're going to actually issue subpoenas or get subpoenas issued. And FOIA requests, Judicial Watch, Liberty Council, other different right-leaning, I don't know, law firms or whatever they call law institutions, whatever they are. We need to be funding those people because that's the only, we are in a litigious time. It's over. Our protests don't work. They're infiltrated by the FBI and they'll instigate some stupid idiot that's on our side to do something stupid and then charge us all. And so we need, it all needs to, all that, all of our money, we, it's all gets solved in courts. We bring them into red jurisdictions where not they're not because they'll receive an unfair trial. We bring them into red jurisdictions because that's the only way to get a fair trial. Red jurisdictions, red judges, red prosecutors. Bring them into those areas and we can transform part of DC into that when we run the DOJ. And all of these people need to be prosecuted. Alejandro Mayorkas needs to be criminally prosecuted. He needs to be civilly prosecuted for the deaths that he's caused. These families need to file lawsuits against him. And here's the thing. If your child was killed by an illegal border invader under the Biden administration, that was let loose by the Biden administration, wherever you live, you file a lawsuit. You might be in a red jurisdiction like Georgia. where Lakin Riley was killed, is a red jurisdiction. It was a blue, like in a blue area, Athens, Georgia, where the university is, but it's a red prosecutor, a red jurisdiction. They need to file against the Biden administration a compensatory lawsuit to be compensated for the death of their daughter. And Joe, and here's who needs to be, it should be a multi-tiered lawsuit against Alejandro Mayorkas, against Joe Biden, against Kamala Harris, because she's the border czar. This is the only, protesting doesn't do anything. Signing petitions doesn't do anything unless it leads to a lawsuit. Lawsuits and prosecutions, that's what needs to happen. The DHS data shows that during an 8-month stretch from January through August 23, roughly 200,000 migrants flew into the United States via the program, and with 80% of them, 161,000, congratulations to us in Florida, 562, arriving in the state of Florida in four cities, Miami, Fort Lauderdale, Orlando, and 1 hour north of where I'm sitting, Tampa Bay, Florida. The top 15 cities migrants flew into, and the numbers during this 8-month window, now this is just an 8-month window now. This isn't the entire Biden administration. This is an 8-month window that at Homeland GOP was able to subpoena out of Alejandro Mayorkas' DHS. Miami got 91,000 people. And you're like, well, Miami's a blue jersey. It's rapidly turning red. Joe Biden lost most of his lead in Dade County, which is Miami. He won by single digits, usually wins by 30% in the last election with Donald J. Trump. Fort Lauderdale, 60,000. New York City, 14,000. They love it, though. They don't. They claim to hate it, but they're still voting for it. Houston, 7,000. Orlando, 6,000. Los Angeles, 3,000. Tampa, 3,000. Dallas, 2,000. San Francisco, 2,000. Atlanta, 1,700. Go to the next one for me, Heather. Newark, 1,400. Close to 1,500. D.C., 1,400. Chicago, 496. Las Vegas, 483. Austin, 171. What's really funny is on that list, the most liberal cities got the least amount of migrants. It's weird, isn't it? I mean, allegedly, you love open borders. Why aren't you rejoicing in the fact, why are you not only that you're getting illegal migrants, why are you not asking for more? I've attached the raw DHS data. This is still Bill Melugin talking. Provided in the subpoena response showing all of the locations the migrants flew into during these 8 months in the chart below. It's too small for you to see anyway. Just really breaks down more data. DHS also revealed in the subpoena response that as of October 2023, there was a backlog of about 1.6 million applicants waiting for DHS approval to fly into the United States via the parole program. Let's camp right there in that emboldened section of this tweet. Who cares if there's a backlog? A backlog of illegal people asking to come into the country. What do you do if you're an illegal person trying to get into the country? You go to a port of entry and you file for citizenship. You file for legal access. That's what you do. But what the Biden administration, it's just so weird. And I don't know the verbiage she used except for outlandish or audacious or something along the lines. The audacity of them saying, we had a backlog. So there's this necessity for us to move. Is we have a backlog of illegals requesting flights to the United States. So we had to really hustle and get them into the country. Imagine the audacity of that. But that's what we have a backlog going on of illegals. So we better open up the borders more via flights and buses. Waiting for DHS approval. In response to the DHS data revealing Florida received the overwhelming majority of migrant flights during the 8-month window, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis' office provided Fox the following statements. Biden's parole program is unlawful. It is. And constitutes an abuse of constitutional authority. It's all felonies, by the way. Florida is currently suing Biden to shut it down, and we believe that we will prevail. So just so you know what was going on with that. But here's the date on it. According to CBP, you can bring it back to me now. According to CBP, this is all Bill Melugin stuff, by the way. Credit to him. According to CBP data, Customs and Border Patrol, at least 404,000 migrants have flown into the United States via the CHNV parole program since it first began. 154,000 Haitians, 94,000 Venezuelans, 84,000 Cubans, and 69,000 Nicaraguans. So far, legal challenges to this controversial program have failed in court. A Texas lawsuit was dismissed earlier this year after a judge ruled the state didn't have standing. That's what all liberal judges do, is claim that you don't have standing, which makes no sense at all. It's just the example that I always tell you. When 21 states went to the Supreme Court to challenge the 2020 fraudulent election. It was dismissed by the Supreme Court that the states had lack of standing. How do you have lack of standing as a state in a federal election? It makes absolutely no sense whatsoever, but that's what's happening here. So what should continue to happen is people like Ron DeSantis, people like Greg Abbott, continue to bus them and fly them to all the cities that are on that list, or even other liberal cities like Portland, Seattle, and Sacramento, and other liberal cities. Send all of these illegals there, because Chicago only got like 1,000. They need 50, 60,000 today. Keep busting them up there, because they do have to come into your state. If we get Haitians in Florida, bus them right to NYC, because Eric Adams loves them before he hates them. Here's another story for you because of our open border. Mischief video. Three babies overdose on what? How does a baby overdose, and what do they overdose on? Look at this. Play for me.
Well, police in a town near Seattle are investigating three shocking incidents where babies overdosed on fentanyl. One of those children died. The overdoses are all happening within a span of 5 days. Let's go to Christina Coleman. She has more in this story now, and she's live in Los Angeles. Christina.
Hi, Arthel. Three victims under the age of 2 years old suffered from fentanyl overdoses, and one of them died. The incidents happened in these three locations in the city of Everett, about 30 miles north of Seattle. The overdoses took place just within a five-day time span between Saturday of last week and this past Wednesday. A spokesperson for the Everett Police Department shared with me the range of emotions that some people are feeling in the community right now after learning about these disturbing incidents involving babies and fentanyl.
Outrage, sadness, confusion, obviously. And those are emotions that the department shares as well. The frequency of this in that short amount of time is certainly unheard of, at least in my career.
Yes, very disturbing incidents within a very short time frame. Police found an 18-month-old unresponsive in an apartment Wednesday, and despite life-saving efforts, the child died. And just a few months earlier, or a few hours earlier, rather, a 6-month-old baby was found in another apartment with trouble breathing. The baby was given Narcan and survived. And on Saturday, Everett emergency crews found an unresponsive 11-month-old at a house. Fortunately, the baby survived as well. Police do not believe the case are connected, and they have not released details on how the babies came in contact with the synthetic opioid as this investigation continues. The city is warning residents of the dangers of fentanyl on social media, noting it can be very potent to a baby or toddler's smaller body. And on a federal level, the CDC is warning people too. In a video, they note how fentanyl is up to 50 times stronger than heroin and 100 times stronger than morphine.
It only takes the tiniest amount to cause a fatal overdose.
So there you go. That was enough. We didn't need to see more of it. But anyway, so again, fentanyl, of course, is absolutely surging across the southern border, made in China, transported by mules, and maybe even the 100,000 military-age Chinese men that have crossed the border under the Biden administration. So fentanyl, of course, made in China, now being trafficked across the southern border, just like children are being trafficked, just like women are being trafficked, just like labor is being trafficked across the southern border. Now we have babies dying. Now let me ask you this again. Here's another poll question for all the for the TLP audience. How many of you have ever heard of babies overdosing on fentanyl until the Biden administration? How many of you have ever even heard of fentanyl until the Biden administration? I know it existed prior to the Biden administration. They and Karine Jean-Pierre, the most incompetent press secretary in the history of the United States of America. But don't worry, she qualifies to be White House press secretary because she checks enough boxes. She's black and she's a lesbian, allegedly some sort of migrant or whatever else. But anyway, these things have never happened before. I mean, yes, fentanyl existed prior to the Biden administration, but I'm being honest with you. I was a cop for 25 years. I mean, it's been a while since I retired, about 7 years ago, a little less than 7 years ago, but I never even heard of fentanyl before. And now we have babies dying of fentanyl, and about 100,000 or more Americans die of fentanyl overdoses every year. It's the number one cause of death of people under the age of 30 in the United States of America right now, which never existed prior to the Biden administration. It's as if they want to abort you after you're born, right? RNC research video. Here's another one. CBS, Biden, here, now we know we just had fentanyl deaths from babies. 15,000 illegal border crossers per day. The Biden flight program with 404,000 people illegally flown into the country by the Biden administration. Numerous murders, numerous rapes, numerous home invasions, numerous burglaries, numerous robberies. numerous batteries on law enforcement officers, all conducted by illegal border invaders. Here's the Biden administration's resolution to the problem. RNC research video from CBS. Play for me.
This news exclusively on CBS News. The Biden administration is considering a plan to allow some Palestinian refugees to come here to the United States. That's according to internal federal government documents that were obtained by CBS's Camilo Montoya Galvez. According to the plan, some Palestinians fleeing the war would be offered a permanent safe haven here in the U.S. And one option under consideration is to allow those who have immediate family members who are either American citizens or permanent residents to enter the country if they pass various background checks first. The plans would require coordination with Egypt, which has so far refused to allow large numbers of people from Gaza to cross the border into that country.
So there's the Biden administration. That's their, you know, they're helping us all out now by their, not only do we have open southern border, by the way, we have an open northern border also. And here's the other thing. So that's the Biden administration's solution to our already open borders is to now open the borders from across the sea. So how many illegal Palestinians are we now going to transport in the United States of America? And I just want to show you this Libs of TikTok video right next to me. This is San Diego Airport, where if you're an illegal border invader, you don't have to stand in security lines like the rest of us. You get your own line. You don't even remember all those lines. We all got to take, they don't have to take the shoes off. We all got to take our shoes off. Remember, we got to put them in the box, throw them through that escalator thing, whatever you call it, x-ray thing. We ought to go through the thing. We all have to stand with our hands up in the air and they do like an x-ray of your whole body and all that stuff. They don't have to do any of that stuff. They got their own little line to go right through, right there. I mean, it's really nice. They're actually, they are preferred citizens. Dan Bongino calls them super citizens. Now, you and I are just regular, run-of-the-mill Americans, but then you got the super citizens who don't even go through a security line at San Diego International Airport. It's amazing, isn't it? All right, Aaron, let's do Midas Gold real quick. Here's the thing with Midas Gold, my one and only sponsor. Give me 60 seconds on this. Midas Gold Group, this is a patriot company. This isn't a Republican company. This is a MAGA company. Somebody who's just like you and I, and I'm always advocating for a parallel economy where we do business with businesses that don't hate us. I know we still have to do some business with businesses that hate us. I still shop at Walmart, and I know that Walmart hates me. I know they do. I know they're a leftist company ever since Sam died, but I still have to do my shopping there. But wherever we can, let's do businesses with legitimate patriot companies like Midas Gold Group. Think about how radical they have to be to sponsor this podcast. My own one and only sponsor. Why do I love Midas? Because they are legit. They believe what you and I believe. They are MAGA. They know the 2020 election was stolen. They know abortion is murder. They know Donald Trump is the legit president of the United States. They will say it out loud. All of their gold is legit. It is physical. It is in your hands, not these phantom gold accounts. Even if you open up an IRA with Midas, it's legit physical gold in your hands upon request. So get your gold. And right now, of course, the spiel that I always give you is while they're trying to, the BRICS movement and even the Biden administration is trying to, why would the Biden administration try to de-dollarize the globe? Because they don't look at the United States as a sovereign country. They look at it as a globalist state under a global one world government. That's how the Biden administration, the globalist left, the Democratic Party, look at the United States of America. And while these various entities, the BRICS movement and the Biden administration, are trying to de-dollarize the globe and devalue the USD via hyperinflation, they are simultaneously buying tons and tons, thousands of tons of gold. Legitimately, thousands of tons of gold. And if they're trying to de-dollarize via hyperinflation while simultaneously buying gold, even if they smash the economy, gold's still worth something. So that's why all of us need to be buying gold. I'm buying gold. You need to be buying gold. Buy it from Midas because they are us. They are patriots. They are MAGA, veteran-owned, veteran-operated. Buy from Midas Gold Group, my one and only sponsor. And when you do, tell them that the TLP sent you. All right, let's go to the next thing. Peter St. Ange video. Housing costs, this isn't going to be a surprise to anybody. And as I've said a million times, we could play literally three straight hours of video. I could do all three podcasts and fill up my message on Sunday morning with videos of people both in Canada and the United States saying, what the crap is going on? I can't afford anything. I'm working two full-time jobs, and I can't afford to buy anything. That's what's happening. That's all on purpose, because when you can't afford to buy anything in the private market, you're going to run to the government for assistance. And once you need their assistance, they can control your behavior. Peter St. Ange video, housing costs hit record new high. Play it for me, Heather.
Housing costs for Americans just hit an all-time high with no relief in sight. In case you were hoping to buy a house and finally ride the Fed's giant money-printing rocket ship, the monthly nut for the median home now comes to $2,775 per month, which is roughly half the median income for housing alone. In fact, it's greater than the total family income for a third of American families, as in young families. As you would expect, according to a separate survey, fully 40% of American renters have given up on ever owning a home. That's up by half since 2 years ago. Instead, they will apparently doom spend until a miracle occurs. The data comes from Redfin, who reports the average rate for a 30-year mortgage just hit 7.4%. That's the highest this year. It is just shy of the 43-year record we hit last year at 7.79%, but of course, house prices have continued to rise since then, along with inflation. As a result, according to Bankrate, Americans now need an annual income of $110,871 just to qualify for the median home. That is up 30 grand since the pandemic began. So yes, Zoomers are doomed. The hope had been that the Fed would start cutting rates this year, bring those mortgage rates down. Those hopes are now evaporating, with Jerome Powell signaling the Fed is in no rush to cut rates this year, since they let inflation get away from them again. The market's odds have gone from 7 cuts to 2 cuts to now floating the possibility that the next move for the Fed could be rate hikes. So 8% mortgages, here we come.
Housing costs at new record of $2,775 per month. Per month. Can you imagine that? Now think about the average household income. Not the average person's income. The average household income in America is between $50,000 and $60,000. I believe it's $53,000. And you got to pay basically $3,000 a month, $36,000 a year in housing costs. This is all on purpose so that you go for housing to the government so they can relocate you into 15-minute cities. If you have to go to the government for housing, then now the government can control your behavior. They send you into a 15-minute city where they can further control your behavior. That's the point of it all. I've got an excellent little expose on 15-minute cities that I'll have to do at some point. I'm not going to have time to do it tonight, but that's the point of all of this. It's on purpose. I mean, you have to look at this. I don't remember when we started this podcast, I don't remember what the average house cost then, but the average house cost now is $411,000. That's average. That's not the most. That's not the top of the spectrum. That's the average house cost, $411,000. The first house that I bought was $142,000. When I paid rent, the rent payment was somewhere between $800 and $1,000. And this wasn't that long ago. I'm not that old. It wasn't that long ago that I was paying rent. And now that rent payments are $2,775 a month. That's just the average housing cost. That includes rents and mortgages. The average is $2,775. That's average. That means high-end $5,000, low-end about $1,500. It's the lowest you'll ever get. This is average, is $1,500 a month for some, 200-square-foot square box somewhere. Truly amazing what the Biden administration has been able to accomplish. Now, I'm just showing you this next video. This is just pure guilty pleasure on my part, making fun of Fannie Willis. There's some deeper political implications on this, but I just want to show you this because I've been on this for a while. Who are these experts that tell us, that constantly exalt their expertise? Whether it's Fauci, whether it's border czar Mayorkas, these experts, these foreign policy experts like John Kerry. I mean, who are all these experts? Fannie Willis, allegedly an expert at the law, a DA out of Atlanta, Georgia, feloniously charging Donald Trump with, and I mean she's committing the felonies, feloniously charging Donald Trump with campaign, with election violations, with trying to interfere in an election. Who exactly are these people that tell us that they're experts? Who are these people that tell us how to live? Who are these people that are prosecuting us? Look at the type of place that Fannie Willis goes to. Laura Loomer video, must watch. Fulton County DA Fannie Willis decides to go to a party in Miami that is for NABCO, which is the National Association of Black County Officials. Now, think about if we replace that B with a W. Anybody think about that? What if we had a National Association of White County Officials? Why are black people allowed to be racist? And believe me, I hate all racism. But I'm just talking about on a judicial level, a litigation level, a hate crime level, a societal consequence level. Why are black people allowed to be racist and white people aren't? Why are black people allowed to be racist and Latinos aren't? Why are black people allowed to be racist and Asians aren't? Why exactly is that? Why are there no political ramifications for having a NABCO, a National Association of Black County Officials? And there's no political ramifications, no societal ramifications for that. But if you dared to have a National Association of White County Officials, which I'm against, by the way, I'm equally against both. National Association of White, National Association of Black, because it's all ridiculous. They're all just human beings. God is no respecter of persons, Romans 2:11, for there is no respect of persons with God. So God doesn't look at the melanin content of people. Moses married an Ethiopian black woman. God doesn't care. Then why do these people care? But I just have to show you the party that Fannie Willis went to and the type of party that Fannie Willis went to. It's really unbelievable. Play it for me, Heather.
As we close out, NABCO section at this time, let me thank our sponsors, Great Miami Convention and Visitors Bureau,
why are you weaponizing our justice
Miami-Dade
system
Chamber
against
Commerce,
President Trump, Fannie?
Miami-Dade County.
Fannie, why are you weaponizing our justice system against Donald Trump?
A special shout out to Hip Rock Star, Social Exchange, PDP, TK Production, and District 9 team, T. McGee. Thank y'all. That's the NABCO section at this time.
This is what you have at a Fannie Willis event. Strippers.
What strippers?
Oh, let's go.
She ran away.
Let's go.
So this is the person who's conducting, of course, with mass corruption already, with she is actually, you know, through Nathan Wade, that she paid $700,000 to who was her lover at the time she hired him, then paid him $700,000, and then used those finances to go on lavish trips together. That had already happened. But even now, after this is all after this, she's attending this party in Miami, sleazy party in Miami. These are the people that are prosecuting us. And there's never any ramifications for them. They are never criminally prosecuted after they conduct criminal prosecutions. I know that's sort of a word jumbo there, but it's just the truth. She needs to pay for what she's done. And you just look at how sleazy of a human being she is. She gets treated like this queen being brought off the stage. She's some sort of queen. She's a woman who is sleeping with a married man, hired him after their relationship, lied under oath saying that she did not get involved with him until after she hired him, when there's thousands of text messages and phone calls and visits between the two of them long before she hired him. She lied under oath. She is a repeat perjurer. Nathan Wade gets removed off the case, but lo and behold, Nathan Wade never returned the $700,000 that he was paid from Fannie Willis that they used to go on their lavish trips together. Nathan Wade meeting with Biden officials for 16 hours, which is part of that $700,000 that he was paid for. Met with Biden officials for 16 hours at the White House prior to the filing of these criminal charges against Donald Trump. Tisha James the same way. Alvin Bragg the same way. Jack Smith, the same way, all met with Biden officials and Biden DOJ and or Biden DOJ prior to charges being filed against Donald J. Trump. This is the level of people that we're dealing with. All right, let me show you a win here. A pick from the Sunday Times out of Great Britain or Scotland. Scottish, there you go. So it's out of Scotland. Humzat, I'm going to do the best I can with the name. Humzat Yousaf is struggling to put together a coalition of MSPs. And this is a parliamentary system. We got to put together coalition governments. After sacking the Scottish Greens for government last week, Humzat Yousaf set to resign as survival hopes fade. Now, let me show you this. Why, Tom, do you want this guy to resign? Why are you happy about it? Well, because this is him. Play it for me, Heather.
The Lord Justice Clerk, white. Every High Court judge, white. The Lord Advocate, white. The Solicitor General, white. The Chief Constable, white. Every Deputy Chief Constable, white. Every Assistant Chief Constable, white. The Head of the Law Society, white. The Head of the Faculty of Advocates, white. Every Prison Governor, white. And not just Justice. The Chief Medical Officer, white. The Chief Nursing Officer, white. The Chief Veterinary Officer, white. The Chief Social Work Advisor, white. Almost every trade union in this country headed by people who are white. In the Scottish Government, every Director General is white. Every chair of every public body is white.
So lo and behold, Scotland doesn't want this guy around anymore. It's kind of weird, isn't it? So here's him resigning. Play for me.
Therefore, after spending the weekend reflecting on what is best for my party, for the government, and for the country I lead, I've concluded that repairing our relationship across the political divide can only be done with someone else at the helm. I have therefore informed the SNP's National Secretary of my intention to stand down as party leader and ask that she commences a leadership contest for my replacement as soon as possible.
Gee, I wonder why this is happening. Well, it's because 96.4% of Scotland is white. So, you know, the odds of you getting a government position are 96.4% if you're white. And he goes on this montage about everybody from some veterinary council to anybody else, white, white. Why, everybody in the country's white, you stupid idiot. The odds of people being heads of states or heads of governmental entities is 96, being white is 96.4%. Of course they're going to be white. And what's the problem with them being white to begin with? Nobody in Scotland, he's not white, and he's basically running the government. White, white. Why is that a problem? We don't sit there, none of us are out there going, you know what, every running back in the NFL, white. Every player in the NBA, I mean, every running back in the NFL, black. Every player in the NBA, black. And then shift to hockey. But every hockey player, white. None of us even care about it. And again, you and I know I do this all the time, but you and I are called the Nazis. And the only people that care about race are Nazis. We're being called Nazis by the people who care about race. You and I don't care about race. They care about race. Now, I'll be accused of being a racist because I'm pointing out that race doesn't matter. But the good news is people like Humzat Yousaf are losing. We are scoring big-time victories. They're having they may be holding it in Romania. It's what's like, it's the mega movement, Make Europe Great Again movement, has begun in Europe, modeling itself after the MAGA movement because people are sick and tired of this. And again, this is just using race hoaxes and using race hustling, transgender hustling, and all the other tactics that are used to leverage you into a one world commerce system with a single access point controlled by people like Humzat Yousaf. People are sick and tired of these tactics. People see it and they're tired of it. And they're just tactics to leverage you into control. You will hire these people. You won't hire that if you don't say the right thing. And I've got, again, just an entire documentary on what's going on in Australia right now, where they're banning speech, banning cash, going on to digital IDs, all simultaneously. Banning cash, digital IDs, no cash, while they're banning speech. I mean, it's not, those are the areas we are losing, but we need to point out where we are winning. And right now there's a mega movement happening in the European Union where people are fed up with having word police, fed up with having racial police, fed up with having Muslim police, fed up with being called, you hate this and you hate that, fed up with being called Nazis by Nazis, fed up with it. Speaking of Hamas Nazis, let's do this one. Alex Stein, number 99 video. Things got heated at the this is the University of Texas in Austin, Texas. Austin, of course, is an absolute liberal Marxist hellhole, as Mike Davis would call it. But overall, Texas is at least still red, maybe pink, but still red. This happened on the University of Texas. Play for me, Heather.
Get the fuck out of here. We're here, UT Austin, where I just got assaulted by transgender pro-Palestine people. I didn't realize gay for Palestine is actually real, but watch this video.
Hey, can I ask you a question? In Palestine, aren't they mean to trans people? Aren't they mean to trans people?
We're here, UT Austin, and trans people are out here protesting for Palestine, but don't Palestinians throw gay people off roofs?
Hey, sir, can you please leave?
Yeah, no, I'm just gonna hang out right here. Can anybody tell me about, do they do any pride parades?
Out of here.
Dude, what are you gonna do about it? You guys are all idiots.
Yeah. You guys are transgenders, but you guys aren't even allowed to be in Palestine. I know, but you guys.
So the question that I always ask is, who are the violent ones? Did Alex Stein do anything violent? No, not at all. The person who committed the violence is this guy. Put up the next one for me, Heather. Angela Van Der tweet, I wonder how the University of Texas at Austin feels about its doctoral students assaulting people on their campus. Mr. Samuel Law should have thought twice. Public information. There he is. That's the guy who assaulted. These are the people. Remember, again, the Nazis calling us Nazis. The violent calling you and I violent. What violence is the right ever committed? What is it? They'll say 1-6, but the only people who died on 1-6 were Republican or conservative protesters. That's it. So who exactly are the ones that are committing all the violence? All the recent mass shootings have been transgender people. Again, the people who claim that there's a genocide against them are the ones that are committing genocide. The people who say that there's violence against them are the violent people. And it was just a hysterical protest here to begin with. And I love what Alex Stein says. I've said it a bunch of times. You've probably said it a bunch of times, but it's still funny to see him say it. Is that you couldn't, all these people that were there demonstrating for Palestine to be free. First of all, there is no Palestinian state to be free. They've been offered it 5 times and rejected it. But if all those people were set up their tables in downtown Gaza, they'd all be hung off of a tree or thrown off a 5-story building. It truly is funny. It really is. But this is the guy that committed the violence. So it just made me think of this. Remember the Billboard Chris incident? Billboard, or one of his many incidents. Here's Billboard Chris on Transgender Day of Visibility, just coming out and saying, all he does is saying the same sign over himself all the time. Children should not be given puberty blockers. Basically what he puts out every time. And just basically stands there and makes some proclamations in the midst of a lawful protest. Him doing, and by the way, the trans people can have lawful protests as long as there's no violence. So he just stands there. Who are the violent people? The people accusing me and you of being violent? Are they the violent people, or are you and I violent? The people who are violent are the people that are accusing us. Play for me, Heather.
Why do you think they're getting that kind of representation? I mean, it's clearly was aggressive violence.
You suck.
You suck. Fuck you. Fuck you. You're not wanted. Fuck you. You're a fucking idiot. You're a fucking idiot.
I don't know what to say.
Fuck
I guess
you.
These police officers fuck are mostly indoctrinated as well.
Everyone here.
They're afraid of the mob.
Because you're a fucking idiot.
I think they're afraid that if they do anything to actually keep law and order, that they'll end up being on the end of this verbal abuse. So it's just cowardice from everybody all around.
Fuck you.
People probably want to know, how do you keep your composure?
Fuck you.
What's up?
How do you keep your composure?
Fuck you. 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 Hey, get your fucking ass off me. You son of a my phone, my purse, my dog. Yes, yes. I have my phone and my purse.
So the people that are actually violent are the people that accuse the right of being violent. And you and I are never violent. You and I don't do that. Listen, you and I don't try to push our values on anyone. You're like, what about abortion? Abortion, we're trying to defend an individual's life. It's got nothing to do with the woman's rights. That's an individual person inside of that woman who has rights. So we're trying to defend that person's rights. We're trying to keep that person from having their rights stolen from them, their right to live stolen from them. That's what you and I are trying to do. We don't ever behave like that. We don't try to force our lives on anybody. We don't sit there and scream in people's faces about heterosexuality or one man, one woman marriage. We don't do any of those things in people's faces because we frankly don't care whether they believe in it or not. We frankly don't care. So we don't try to do that. So the violent people are the people that are accusing us of being violent. The Nazis are the people accusing you and I of being Nazis. The people that are anti-democracy, the people that are accusing us of being anti-democracy, again, we're not a democracy, we're a constitutional republic, so it makes no sense anyway, but the people accusing us of being anti-democracy are the people who are anti-democracy and rigging elections. The people accusing us of being anti-democracy are the ones who ban speech and put together disinformation governance boards and truth ministries and plastics registries in Canada and e-safety commissars in Australia. Hey, you want to shut down a protest? Go to Florida. This is what you do right here in Florida. John Cordillo tweet, current state of pro-Hamas protests at UF this morning after Governor Ron DeSantis enforced the law. Look at that protest. That's what you do. And just so everybody knows how this works, if you're wondering how it works from a law enforcement perspective, it's as simple as this. People can protest at these campuses. They can. Now, if you enforce the law correctly, like Ron DeSantis always does, greatest governor in America, this is what your pro-Hamas rally looks like at the University of Florida. What you do from a law enforcement perspective, it's really simple. If the campus wants them there, let it be. When the campus doesn't want them there, they all get a trespass warning. If they don't leave, they get arrested. It's as simple as that. Of course, I'm talking about nonviolent, if there's violence, then you have to have the cops involved. And again, I just go over this. I don't get a lot of times how cops are handling this because you can easily disperse these people with pepper balls. It's all you need to do. They can easily be dispersed. And they actually use tear gas on the South Florida campus in Florida. Very easily dealt with. Just get them. You don't have to have mass tackling of these people. Basically ignore them. And when they break the law, they get trespassed and arrested or just send in a bunch of pepper balls. And trust me, they will all leave. Just like the southern border. You want to close the southern border, put up hundreds of yards of razor wire, they'll never get through. It's as simple as that. All right, we'll call it right there, 10 o'clock tonight. I appreciate everybody. Thank you guys so much for watching. Watch on Rumble, switch to Rumble, buy your gold from Midas Gold. Stick around for the post game. Love and appreciate 759 people on. Love and appreciate each and every one of you. Love and appreciate all you guys on the chat. Really do. Wouldn't do it without you. Appreciate all your support. Stick around for the post game. It's great. I'll see you guys on Thursday night. 8:30 again, 90 Minutes of Fury. God bless you. See you Thursday.
Everybody is captive to something. You will choose one of the three. God, the world, or the devil. You'll be captive to one of those three. You'll be captive to one of those. You need to choose your captivity wisely. Well, I just want to be free from God then. God, okay, free from God is hell. Free from God is hell. Why? Because every good and perfect thing comes from above. James 1:17. Every good and perfect thing comes from above. Anything that is so funny to me, because as people try to destroy America in the name of saving democracy, they destroy every good thing about the very America that hordes of people try to get into every day. Every good and perfect thing comes from above. So you're like, I just want to escape God. Then you escape every good and perfect thing. But you need to choose wisely. You need to know right now, what am I captive to? If there's other things more important to you than the gospel of Jesus Christ, understand that you're in captivity to the world of the devil.
If you enjoyed watching the Tom Lipley podcast, please consider investing in our program. Go to tomlipley.com and donate $25 or more, and we will send you this TLP mug warmer. We look forward to you tuning in next week, and thank you for giving.